Popcorn Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. Yeah! Yeah!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I am the Bagman. The other voice you're about to hear in the near future is that of Rabbit. Our host Wesley is away for the last time, thank God. I miss him. I miss him so desperately. But he's in America, and I think he spent too much money on coconut oil to be able to afford a flight back. This week, we have a monstrous show. We're talking about Kobe's injury, Klay Thompson fucking erupting last night, Greg Anthony's got sluts everywhere. We're going to have a crack at the trade machine. We're going to do our douches of the week and some other random shit. But before we get into it, please, if you're listening on iTunes, give us a subscription or a review. Tell us that we suck, whatever. Just engage with us. And also hit our Facebook and Twitter, just search for FCP Podcast and you should be good to go. But how are you, Christopher?
I'm great. I'm so glad we're doing this tonight. This is being recorded Sunday night rather than Saturday night. So we got to see that fucking amazing performance of Klay Thompson.
Legendary third quarter performance by Thompson.
It's
37
just like,
points.
I was texting you and I didn't have the words. And I'm sure that's like super cliche, but what the fuck, you know? 37 and a quarter is better than Wilt. It's better than Jordan. It's better than any cunt out there, ever.
It's never happened.
So it was incredible. I didn't see it live, but I knew shit was going down because Twitter and Instagram were fucking erupting, and I was trying to stay away from it, but I found out about it, but it was still the most amazing thing. And yeah, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Joy to watch, hey? Like,
yeah,
you
totally.
Live for that shit as
yeah.
a fan.
You remember when we watched that time LeBron scored like, I don't know, 13 in a minute or a bit more, you know, deep in the queue.
Yeah,
remember that shit?
In the Bradley Center.
And that was insane where you just like get him the ball. Like he has to give him the ball. All you have to do is get that guy the ball. And that's what, imagine being in the stadium and feeling that, like just watching him like every second. Where is he? Get him the ball. Oh my God, he's got the ball. He's going to put it up. No, yeah. No, he can't hit that. Fuck. Oh! And it was, everyone was losing it.
Yeah, and that
people
was like
were in shock at the game. His teammates were in shock.
That was a 3-minute period as well. And Thompson sort of sustained it and just built up over 8.5, 9 minutes. It was crazy.
We were going to try and get to it later, but it's too exciting. We've got to talk
yeah.
about it.
We got a little pre-shot off. For the, we'll nail it in tune. But
And
yeah.
so I just wanted to do something different. I just want to, everyone should just press pause on the season and stop analyzing everything and just sit back and just understand what the fuck's going on this season. Like, it's so crazy. It's amazing. No one could have predicted any of the shit that's going on.
Truth.
And so I'm just going to throw some numbers at you.
Okay.
And you just tell me if you know what I'm talking about.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. So obviously I'm going to start with the first one, which is 37.
Yeah,
Give
which
me.
We've discussed. Yeah, Klay Thompson.
And he went for 52 in the game against the Kings.
Huge.
My God. Yep. 15.
15.
Yeah.
Is it Sprewell related?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Close. Not really close at all.
Okay, I'm sorry. What is it?
Oh, it's Atlanta's current winning streak at the moment.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Hawks are streaking.
29 of their last 31 now
yeah.
or something?
Unheard of.
That's just a massive story within itself, but what about 38?
38.
Yep.
It
relates to someone who's not here, possibly.
Oh, Wesley.
It's the number of kilos I reckon he's put on since he's been away eating In-N-Out burgers. Yeah,
no doubt. Enjoy that. Enjoy that, VG. That's accurate. I reckon that's an accurate guess.
Eight.
Eight. Is that the number of extra seats Wes had to buy for his airplane trip home?
That's harsh. That's two in a row. But no, that's the number of games the Knicks have won this season.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
bad.
And haven't they won two on the trot?
Yeah, something like that. Boy. I know. Two.
Two. No. I don't know. The number two just reminds me of what sort of the season New York are having. But other than that, I got nothing.
It's the number of DUIs Ty Lawson has this over the course of his career. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, actually.
Jay Kidd alert.
Yeah.
Jay Kidd drunk driving alert.
Doing 60 in a 35 zone.
That's what I heard.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, the dude's making $10 million a season.
Yeah.
Hire a fucking driver.
I think he was coming back from some fun. It was like 1 a.m. and he was coming back from some team thing or some.
Yeah, it's like a Denver whatever, team function
charity
or something.
Thing or some shit. Yeah, so he had to miss a few games, but he's good to play tomorrow, I think. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah, and they're just waiting to see what the feds will do, the fuzz, what they do, and then the NBA might have to take action after that.
We got charged with domestic violence in 2013, I was reading as well.
Yeah.
So he's turning into a bit of a checkered history kind of guy.
Mm.
I don't agree with that. Safety first, everyone.
I would probably be doing it, I reckon. And I'd just have tickets in the glovey, like most of them do. And just be like, hey, man, here's some tickets to the next game. You know, you're cool. Is that Ty Lawson? Oh, my God, Ty Lawson. Here's some tickets.
Ty Lawson?
You know what I'm saying.
No way.
I reckon it goes on way
you're
more than you
end
think.
Up in someone else's front yard with a fucking...
Oh, I...
With blood on
I
your
totally
hands,
I totally agree
Chris.
With you. Totally. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, moving on. Zero. Could relate to many things.
Is that the amount of money Bargnani's going to get on his next contract?
Oh, touche. This is the number of games Kobe may have left in his career.
Oh, you're going there. You reckon
well,
it's all done?
No, but I just thought it's controversial.
We're going to touch on Kobe a little later for sure. Yep. I'm wondering how that's going to all shake out. It's hectic.
I've got one more for you.
Uh-huh.
Number nine. The number nine. This is the number of times Russell Westbrook said good execution in a post-game interview. After he got a triple-double with career-high 17 assists.
That's crazy.
And he was fucking hating everyone. Same game, on the way there, he wore a balaclava to the game. Same game.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him.
Something's up in Russell's world that day.
Yeah, he's fucking psychotic. That's what's up. I love it.
Maybe he had just a run-in with a Ouija board the night before or something, and he's just all fucked up, had a seance, and he's just still, like, you know, scared of the world or something, but... Yeah. No, you couldn't have, because he came out and had a triple-double and owned.
Yeah, cunt probably drinks tiger blood. I don't know. Yeah. He's crazy.
Yep.
I got a cheeky one for you.
Please.
It's the number five. Who do you think are the top five people in plus-minus in the whole league? I'll tell you in order. Curry.
Yep.
Thompson.
Yep.
Draymond Green. Bogut.
Stop it.
And Korver.
Korver?
Makes you wonder what would happen if they traded Harrison Barnes for Korver.
It's boner time. That's what
day.
It is. Boner time. Wow.
Hat tip to McCuddy for that one. Shout out to McGiddy.
Four players from Golden State lead the league.
Yep.
Wow.
It's
amazing.
Insanity.
That's
They're
amazing.
Just ripping.
Hey, just quietly, Korver's been throwing down. Have you seen that?
I saw him throw down a two-hander in transition.
He's done it twice.
Yeah.
You know things are rolling with Atlanta if Korver's throwing down two-handers.
Yeah, didn't he had a bet with Elton Brand that he would get a dunk before Brand hit a three-pointer this year. Legitimate bet. And then after the first dunk, Brand was claiming it was fingertips and it wasn't a legitimate dunk.
Oh, heavy.
So Korver showed him what's up with a two-handed flush.
I got all the time in the world for Korver.
So sick.
It's epic.
Okay, so... I think before we get into...
Did you like that, though?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I'll try
it really
and do better ones.
It really kept me on my toes.
You know, every so often we'll pull that out, but yeah.
I legitimately had no idea what you were going to say, so it's hard trying to, like, correlate a number
could
to something.
Anything in the world, I know.
I think I went to the Knicks well a little too often.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's an easy world.
Yep.
Okay, so before we do anything, we're going to sink our teeth into the All-Star situation at the moment. As you know, in the last few days, the starters are locked in the East and West. So we're just going to say our piece and see what's going on in that regard. In the East, we got Kyle Lowry, who overtook Dwayne Wade in the voting in
Thank
like
God.
The last week.
Thank God.
Good
so
work,
stoked.
Toronto. Fuck yeah. And John Wall in the backcourt. LeBron, Powell, and Carmelo are your forwards. How do you feel about that?
I'm stoked. I had that exactly except for Kyle Lowry. I had Jimmy Butler there, so I'm pretty stoked with those picks. I'm just stoked for Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, absolutely. He deserves it. He definitely deserves it more than Wade. He's totally. Having a much better season. I guess the only thing you could really argue with there is because the Knicks are sucking so bad that Carmelo, whether he's worthy or not, but...
Well, who would you put there instead at sort of a forward spot, a three
oh, man,
or four?
No, I'm happy with Carmelo. Yeah. It's the all-star game. He's a premier player. He's an exciting player. He's a star. He belongs
totally.
There. He's... That's where he's meant to be. So I've got no qualms with that.
So they'll Ooh. Release the reserves probably in the next few weeks, in the next couple of days, I think. And,
in the next week or so.
I mean, the East bench, it's not like nearly as talented, obviously, as the West. We were laughing about it before saying the West bench is an all-star team in itself. East bench is like, you know, it's still money players. Like, Butler's going to be on there. Who else are we putting on there?
Kyrie Irving's basically a lock, you'd think.
Yep, of course.
For the guards, Chris Bosh and Millsap are going to get
and Wade will get on there, won't he?
Yeah, well, Wade and D. Rose are sort of the question marks at guard, I think.
It's good that if you had to take one person from Chicago, and it looks like the fans have chosen well, like on merit, and they put Butler ahead of Rose, which is pretty good.
Yeah, he's having a more impactful season, totally. For sure. But yeah, Wade and Rose, one of those guys is probably going to miss out, I think, at the expense of Teague. I really think Teague is going to get in.
I hope so. Someone from Atlanta has to get in.
Yeah, well, I think Atlanta will have at least two. I think Millsap will
lock in the front.
And Korver is, it's a real thing now, I think. Like, there's a wave of support behind Korver.
What, over Teague?
No, I don't think that'll be a problem.
Is it outrageous to have three Atlanta players on there?
Man, I think it's going to happen, eh?
I hope so.
I seriously think it's going to happen. Not when you're leading
the East by so much.
Yeah, yeah, and it's perfect timing. It's really sad because the one guy who I think you would imagine he would have been there based on last year is Noah. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 8 points and 9 rebounds, which was enough to get Hibbert into the fucking game last year. So I can't see why he wouldn't get in this year. But yeah, Noah, you couldn't include him this year, and he was a NBA all first team last year.
Like in the talk for MVP, like fourth or fifth last year. But the only reason he was so relevant was because Rose was out. Don't forget. Now Chicago is so loaded again. He's gone back to doing his boards and hustle. You know, that's all he's asked for, and he does that well.
Yeah,
anyway, we digress.
But the East is pretty fucking gross when you start thinking about guys like Vucevic, who's having a monster season, FYI. Yeah. But you know, when they're in the conversation, it's not really starry material. But in the West, that's totally different. We've got Steph Curry, who's leading led all vote getters, more than LeBron.
More than LeBron.
How does it feel that your team's the most mainstream team now?
They're not mainstream.
They're
team.
Super mainstream.
No.
He's the most popular player in the league,
it's
bro.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's recognition. I mean, it's awesome. I just don't like that the bandwagon, like the door's wide open now and heaps of people are going to jump on it. So
get used to it, bro.
I know. That's cool.
Happening.
Man, it's deserving. It's great. Hey, here's a quick one about Curry.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you know that his mum's been fining him for turnovers?
Oh, I heard.
That's
like $100 per or something?
Yeah, well, he that's obviously the one thing that's a letdown in his game at the moment. It's a letdown in the whole Warriors offense. But yeah, his mum was like, I'm sick of these turnovers. You know, how are we going to fix it? And she spoke to Dell, and they both agreed that 3 turnovers a game is, you know, kind of the tipping point, so to speak. And then anything over 3 is $100 per turnover. Last year, Steph had to pay out $6,000 to his mom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Pretty nice little side business.
Well, he's only owes a 900 this season so far, so
it's
much better.
I'm going to put a call into Josh Smith's parents and see if they can get him on a fine-based system for threes.
Mikhail will thank you for that.
All day.
Yeah.
So Curry's in there. Mm-hmm. Kobe, as he always tends to be, got voted in as a starter as well, but he'll be replaced. We'll get to that.
Yep.
And the Mono Brow making his first start.
Yep.
Marc Gasol and Blake Griffin.
Yep.
Pretty beastly team.
Yeah, it's you know, you could argue Blake Griffin, maybe not, but that's always going to be a popularity contest with Kobe. I'm not sure how I feel. I think he should be there in some capacity. I don't know if he deserves to start when you've got guys like Aldridge and KD and Cousins, Duncan, you know.
Yeah.
But my boy Draymond Green even. But, you know, just
suspect,
saying, it is what it is. It's the system they use. And yeah, we're going to talk about it in a sec.
Yeah, well, The real interesting thing is replacement or like reserve guards in the West, I think. Because you're looking at Kobe, obviously he's been ruled out for the season with a torn rotator cuff, super hectic.
Yeah.
So there'll be someone will go into his place, a guard. Harden did it last year, you'd think. But interesting tidbit, if Kerr's coaching, you think he might go for an all-Splash Brothers backcourt if it shakes out like that.
What a sort of conundrum to be in, because he is in a position where he can totally glorify his backcourt, and kind of rightly so. You know, no one beat him up. He's like, they're my boys. They play insane. I got to back them. And no one would really blow up at him too much. But then you turn around and go, well, if you're a neutral coach and you're above that stuff because it's All-Star Weekend, it's not about your team, then you have to put Harden in.
Yeah, but it's a too rich of an opportunity. I'd be like, when I'm deciding the team, I just have to call him up if I was Kerr and be like, hey, sorry, man, you're not that good. You didn't think we were that good?
Oh, of
we're
course.
That good. You're
I
not
know.
That good, bro. Yeah. Sorry. But I just think it's awesome that Harden, you know, he's supposedly having, well, he's definitely having like an MVP type season.
Yep.
And he's killing it. But yet, the fans are smart enough to know that it's pretty fucking rank to watch a lot of the time.
I'm with you.
And, you know, he should be one of like the top three or four vote getters in the whole league, by the way he's playing. But
if you're talking about like it's Curry and Harden in the MVP race at the top in most people's eyes, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, totally.
And then but one of them's not a starter in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
It's madness.
It's unheard of.
That's a flaw with the way the fans are voting, I think. Not in a good way or a bad way. I'm just saying that when it's a popularity contest, it's not on merit half the time. And hence why Kobe's there. Hence why Blake Griffin's there as well, I reckon. Blake Griffin hasn't done amazing things to sort of sustain his role as an All-Star starter this season, I don't feel. Yeah, I might be wrong. It's a bit grey, but I'd rather be putting Aldridge in the starting position based on merit.
Oh, totally. But look at what it is. It's a showcase. It's an exhibition. You know, I don't know why there's so many. It's so important for the All-Stars to get accolades for being on the All-Star team.
I'll tell you why. Because this stuff comes out when people are being chosen for the Hall of Fame, and he's a five-time All-Star. He's a he only made the All-Star team three times. This guy never made the All-Star team, so he's not like And when you're putting it in like guys who are fans who are like part-time watchers and, you know, they just buy a fucking Charlotte Hornets hat, like we always say, those kind of guys, they're always going to vote for Yao Ming. They're always going to vote for Kobe. You know what I mean? It doesn't even matter if Kobe's injured or he's averaging fucking 4 points a game, you know?
Yeah, but there's something about having, like, star power, not necessarily because you're a better or worse player. It's like, if you're in the mid-2000s, you want to see Vince Carter in the All-Star game, no matter what.
Mm.
No matter if he's nowhere near as good as Kobe or T-Mac or whatever.
Yeah, I hear you.
You want to see VC. That's why Blake Griffin's in there.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you know, we'd have a league full of fucking Tim Duncans, which wouldn't, you know, that's what the Hall of Fame would be filled with.
And
being a star and being able to make exciting plays is definitely part of being a player.
Well,
it makes the league more interesting.
Well, when you say that, then Kevin Durant should be there ahead of Blake Griffin. Would you argue? The MVP from last season.
Yeah,
if it's a popularity contest, he should be there, shouldn't he?
Well, the same reason why Harden should be there. You know
no,
what I mean?
Not at all, because the fans kind of, no one likes Harden that much. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah,
but everyone loves KD, you know? Or maybe not, obviously.
The KD thing's sort of based on how much he's played.
Yeah.
That's why, true. You know? And he'd be in instead of Gasol, instead of Blake Griffin. We have to come to terms with that.
Would he be there if he played all season ahead of Gasol? They'd have to start, who are they, start Griffin as a center?
Oh, the brow.
Oh, yeah. It
doesn't matter.
There, of course. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all forwards, yeah. Anyway.
But it's getting super interesting now because I think we can all agree Harden is going to walk onto the team.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Yeah.
Let's base it on the assumption that Harden's starting. That leaves probably four guards that need to get voted in by the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the group we're talking about, Lillard, Klay Thompson, Westbrook,
CP,
Monte, and Conley.
Wow.
If you're picking four guys out of that group, who are your four guys?
I'm taking Westbrook, I'm taking Thompson, I'm taking Lillard, and I'm taking CP.
Yeah, right.
That's who I'm taking.
I have zero doubt that CP is going to be in the game.
Yep.
I would agree with you, except I really want to see Monte Ellis in there.
Yeah.
And I got no other rationale in that. I think I want Monte to be an all-star. This is as good an opportunity as you'll probably ever get.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it is about CP3. I'm a bit over it. I don't want to see him in that game.
Yeah, you got CP3 fatigue, dude. That's what you got. And I've got it with Griffin.
Yeah.
It just fucking like doesn't impress me. The Clippers don't impress me. And that might be like a bit biased or something, but I just, they're not at a level that they should be at, or they're underachieving or whatever it is. It's just old, you know? And
yeah.
I think we're all kind of like, in their own right, they're awesome ballers. But yeah, it's the same thing I was saying before. Conley, you know?
Yeah.
What a season he's having. but probably won't get a look in, unfortunately.
But yeah, I agree with the CP3 thing. You know, when it comes playoff time and he's taking over games and just like playing 40 minutes and just having his hand in everything, we're going to be like, CP3's a master, all that sort of stuff. You could argue that Westbrook hasn't played enough games to merit consideration, but I want Westbrook and Lillard and Thompson in that game, unquestionable, just because you're going to see the most exciting brand of ball, I think. And I like him better.
Yeah, totally.
CP3's a fucking tool.
Yeah. Still, though, I hope when everyone's healthy, my wish is start of the playoffs in the West, everyone's healthy, every team's healthy, and it's going to be a fucking bloodbath. I can't wait. It's going to be so intense. And, you know, like you said, CP3 lifting his game. Lillard in the playoffs, bring it. So yeah,
it's gonna be huge.
All right, and the front court.
Yeah, so you're talking. We're gonna have sort of three out of the following six, the way I see it: Durant, LaMarcus Aldridge, Dirk, Tim Duncan, Dwight Howard, and DeMarcus Cousins. Who are your three guys there?
Did you say Draymond Green, bro?
Didn't say Draymond Green because it doesn't merit conversation. It's like
I think he was in the top 10. Vote getters, I'm pretty sure, in the West.
Yeah, so was Valanciunas and Lou Williams in the East. Fuck off. It doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, it does in the West. No, I'm fucking with you. I think KD for sure. I think I'd love to see. I only get three here. Hey.
Yep.
Fuck.
I'm with you on KD. You got to have KD. He's the top five basketball
players
alive.
I'm taking Aldridge there. I'm probably taking Cousins, I think. The Diggler's had his fair share, his money, but you know.
Plus, you don't want to see Dirk play 8 minutes in this game. Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck about it.
He wouldn't care less. He'll be happy to put his legs up. Duncan will be the same. He'll just put his feet up. He probably wants to go fishing or some shit with Pop. Don't give a fuck about Dwight Howard, to be honest. And I'd love to see Draymond there, but he's not going to make it. Yeah, who would you go with?
Yeah, the same. The only thing I'm really sort of sitting on the fence on is I think Aldridge is having a monster season. Mm-hmm. That's a shoo-in if he stays on the court.
Yeah, so we both agree on KD and Aldridge.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'm going to go completely against what I just said in with the guards, but Duncan, I think, is having a better season than Cousins right now. I think it's mostly because I've watched more San Antonio.
Yeah.
But I just think he's doing amazing there, but yeah, you're right. It's the last person you want to see in there is Duncan. You're going to set a pick, and who gives a fuck?
Cousins, he won't want to be there anyway, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Cousins will be hungry. Yep. He'll probably like try and shake and bake someone and shoot a fadeaway three.
Yep.
I'm all for
which
it.
Is
I've
allowed.
Changed my mind.
Which
yep.
is totally allowed. Totally I want to see that. Yeah,
yep, all day. So yeah, that's All Stars. That's pretty sweet. I guess while we're talking about it, should we talk about Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you say? He's done his shoulder. It's super serious. He's asked to decide if he has to have surgery pretty soon.
Yep.
Done for the season again. 36 years old. It's looking like the sun is setting, so to speak.
Yeah. Couple of things. It's definitely really sad how it's shaken out. Really unfortunate how these last couple of years have shaken out for Kobe. It's not fitting of... Because you can see from... Even though he's, you know, having a really awful season in terms of efficiency...
Yeah.
He still belongs in the league.
Yeah.
He's a player in this league. And it's a real shame to see his twilight just be marred like this.
And he still gives you, like, moments of brilliance. Like, he had his career high in assists the other night. Like, 19 assists or something.
Yeah, 17 assists. 17.
And that's, like, career. And he's doing it now. A couple of games. Scott was like apologetic to him because he was saying he played him too many minutes at
which
the start of the season. Yeah, which was pretty bad, pretty stupid. But what is he supposed to do in that sense? Because it was so gross. And Kobe's like, I'm not going to sit on the bench and do like restricted minutes and watch us lose. You know, he can't operate like that.
Yeah.
So you're in a bit of a catch 22 with that.
But
you know who it reminds me of? Sorry, I'll let you finish.
No, go on.
It reminds me of how Larry Bird's career finished.
Oh, yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Well, I guess they're cut from the same cloth in that way.
Exactly. Yep. And, you know, Bird was just like struggling towards the end. You remember lying on the bench and his back was fucked and, you know, it was sad to see him go and he just sort of faded out. It was a shame.
We're talking about Kobe.
His last sort of definitive moment of glory was like 2010 ring. You know, it's kind of ironic. Like, how else would Kobe go out, you know?
Well,
kicking and screaming, sort of.
Well, this is...
Against his own body, yeah.
That's what got me thinking about when, you know, you start to break it down is he's not doing, like, the Vince Carter thing where he's realized that he's a human being, that he shouldn't really be the go-to guy playing 35 minutes a night, having the ball in his hands every minute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. that's not going to happen. So what happens from here? Because for the Lakers, it gets super interesting. If they get a top five draft pick this year, they keep it, which is obviously what they want to do. They want to finish in the bottom,
and
get
a high
draft
pick. And if
they don't,
it goes to
Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's right, yeah.
So what happens there? They get a high draft pick. Kobe comes back next year. They're doing the same thing they're doing this year, basically, with Julius Randle out.
Yep.
And so if they do keep that pick, it refers to next year where it's top three protected. So to keep that pick, they'd have to have another top three pick. So what happens there? Kobe's got a no trade clause. He's not really going anywhere.
He won't go anywhere.
So what happens? Does Kobe retire and then you're in full-blown tank mode, writes itself?
Yep.
Or Kobe comes back with two prize rookies and you're not going to finish in the bottom three.
No.
And so you lose that pick. Or Kobe accepts that he'll take a trade somewhere and go to Brooklyn or where they can match salaries or
year?
Do something with him.
No.
I don't think he's going to do either of those.
No,
so, I agree. What happens here if you're the Lakers? You just succumb to the fact that you're going to lose one of those picks either this year or next year, and Kobe's going to retire, and you have to start again in 2 years.
It looks dire. I think Kobe's probably going to retire. That's what I think will happen. He was hinting at it a little bit at the start of the season, sort of saying little things like he doesn't know if his body can get him through another. Another 82 games. He was sort of saying a few little things that that hinted at it. I think he's sort of got his eye on his swan song and he's walking out. This is just kind of the big moment where it makes it clear he's out.
But going out like that?
How else are you going to go out? You're just going to come back and get injured again in the same way, doing something else like this. What are you supposed to do? Play 15 minutes a game and come on and hit a few jumpers? And
that's
like,
entirely what he should be doing.
I don't think so.
He's just not wired that way.
I think he should retire.
I just think two reasons why I don't think he will. One, I don't think he'll want to go out on this awful team, with that sort of injury just piking on the season and that's it. And so I think he's going to want to finish on a higher note than that. At least finish the season.
But how can he get higher?
At least finish the season.
Oh.
Be at the end, the fucking...
He's going to get injured again doing something like this.
It's just going to be like the... Imagine it's going to be the tour to Kobe next year. If he's like, this is definitely my last year.
If he announces
every arena he's in, they're going to be like, yes, we fucking love you.
We get to see
you for the last time.
Well, even if he's like, that is his swan song, so he says it. Even if he's hobbled and he can't shoot properly, come on, play 10 minutes in every arena then,
Yeah.
Do the Kareem thing and get get gifts at every arena and
Why
say
not?
Goodbye. Yeah, in that case, I don't mind that. But
and then the other thing is $25 million.
Does he have to get, is that guaranteed?
Nah, man, he's at $25 million for next year. He's got to play. He can't just retire and get
heavy.
The money.
Yeah, right.
So he's got to be on the squad.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, yeah, that's probably what will happen.
Yeah, he's not an idiot.
yeah,
25
definitely.
Mil.
I thought it's guaranteed, regardless. You got to play, though. Got to play a little bit.
Yeah, well, you either, suit up and you're, or you're injured for the season and then they can claim it on insurance or something.
That's what's going to happen, sure.
Okay. But if he's healthy, I think he's going to play and take his 25 mil all day.
All day.
Okay, moving right along, we are going to get to our Douche of the Week segment, as we do every podcast. So many contenders this
week,
it's
Noble. Been pretty busy. I wasn't sure about the... we've got notable mentions again. I think I don't mind doing that lately. Just throwing in a few... I wouldn't mind using these guys, except this takes the cake. So I'll go with notable mentions first. Greg Anthony.
Greg Anthony's got hose.
It's so good.
In at least one area code.
So good.
Washington, D.C.
Busted for trying to pick up hookers in Washington. Could face 90 days in prison.
And he's been fired from broadcasting the college ball by CBS.
Yeah.
And it's possible he'll get replaced by Reggie. The ultimate indignity. First, he was responsible for 8 points, 9 seconds.
Yep.
And now this.
Yep.
Greg Anthony is just sucking on Reggie's nuts his whole life.
Yep.
Terrifying.
I like the quote he used. With this lapse of judgment, I embarrass myself, my family, blah, 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 blah. It's not a lapse of judgment, dude. You made the judgment to get hookers.
Yeah, hard.
You got sprung. That's the problem. There's no lapse of judgment.
He wasn't driving along and he stopped and so it was like whores. And he's like, yeah. Oh, too late. Yeah. It's premeditated.
Totally.
Yeah. Got a totally. Lust for whores.
You would good have had like a good 6 to 12 hours to dwell on it by like, I'm going to get me some hookers after this broadcast. Yeah, I'm going to get hookers. Drive to the hotel, call the number. I'm getting hookers.
Totally.
Getting hookers.
Yeah. Probably went to the bathroom and rubbed one out just to make sure he gets his money's worth on the times, right? Totally. Yeah. All day.
It's so dumb. I love those like, you know, corporate fucking apologies and shit they all have to say.
Yeah.
Just calling you out there, Greg.
We know your operation. Definitely not the first time. It's the first time you got sprung.
Now, I believe you have another notable mention.
Oh, yeah. I think it's really douchey to sort of mortgage your team's future to hire your son to play for you,
yeah.
a la Doc Rivers and Austin Rivers, who are probably the best father and son duo in basketball since LeBron and Greg Oden.
It's dumb, man. It's like got so much trouble written all over it. I mean, if you're Doc, you're like, what's more important, my career as a coach or making my son's career like better? You know, and if he's put himself in a stupid position because like if he's got to like, you know, be a bit nicer to Austin when he's sucking or like keep him on or whatever, he's got his son's career in his hand. So it's like, I got to help my son out. And then he's going to be like, oh, we can't respect you as a coach well enough because you're doing favors for your son. Or you're a dickhead father not backing your son. Why would you do it?
It's lose-lose. It's fraught with danger, isn't it? It's only goes well if Austin turns into a better player than what everyone thinks he will.
Which he's not. Well, and he probably won't. You're not going to be like Jamal Crawford off the bench. You're not going to be... bring a bit of defense, but that's what they said. Like, he's played a few games and said, yeah. The other Clippers players said, like DeAndre Jordan, a few others said, like, yeah, his D was pretty good for a stretch there. Cool.
Oh, you're going to get, you know, like sucking up to daddy.
Well, it's just going to be scrutinized now all the time. Yep. And it's going to take away from his actual game. It's fucking dumb. I don't get it.
And just from a straight up, even if Doc wasn't the coach, I don't love it anyway.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Farmer is a better player than 100%. Austin at this stage of the game. 100%. Similar skill set.
Yep.
So, you know, deal with that.
Yeah. Anyway, douchey.
So who's your like actual legitimate dude? Oh, wait. I'll do mine first because it's like pretty weak and I know yours is fraught with fucking fury. I love it. I was just trolling through Instagram and I saw a photo of Matt Barnes standing next to a motorbike in fisherman's pants and an open denim vest.
I saw the photo. Yeah, it's
Matt Barnes
super queer.
Is worse than Hitler. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And you know, you just can't let that shit slide. Matt Barnes is my douche of the week. Probably not for the last time. Don't kill me.
I think he's been douche of the week before.
I'm sure. Yeah, 100%.
Well, this guy has.
Yeah.
This fuckhead has. Everyone knows my hatred for KG, but, you know, I think it's justified because he just keeps giving ammo. You know, like, the headbutt of Dwight Howard. There's absolutely no need, and it's just blatantly obvious that you're just either trying to get yourself going or, like, just doing everything you think you need to, like, amp up another player or get him fucked over or something, a la fucking Bill Laimbeer or something. But all you've done this season, your most notable play all season, the most notable thing anyone's talking about for you is headbutting Howard. Yeah. That's it. What the fuck with?
It's totally unwarranted.
Fucking retire. Yeah. Fucking retire. You're not doing anything. Oh, sick. How sick are Brooklyn going since you've got there? Shithouse. How sick are you playing? Terrible. Talk about Kobe retiring. Fucking Garnett retire.
Yeah.
Douche of the week. Easy.
Man, what are you psyching yourself up for to get to 11 points for the first time this season?
Right?
What the fuck?
It's gross.
It's been a good run. It's definitely time. This is an unceremonious way to end your career as well. I kind of feel bad for him because I think he thought he was going to a situation where it would be better than that. You were coming to a team that had legitimate title prospects when you first got it together.
I don't feel sorry for him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, fair enough.
Never liked him.
I love it.
You've got a guy who punches people in the nuts when they take jump shots. It's fucking weak. You're shit. Like, you had good talent. You're MVP for a while there. You were money. But when you go and disrespect other people and add that to your game where you're known as, like, just a cunt of a player and you don't have to make those stupid choices, it shows your true character and that shit's fucked. And that's why I hate KG.
Yeah, don't try and start something with Jose Calderon. You know, in a game. That's not your fight.
Don't need to do it.
Had enough of it.
Yeah.
Terrible. Well, anyway, yeah, he's
a bit of venom in that douche of the week.
I love it.
Should we do a trade machine bag?
Yeah, I'm all for it.
I was just chatting to Bag in the week, and I noticed he told me about you can do this ESPN trade machine thing, which is super cool. It kind of, I guess, is like our hypotheticals in a trade way. It's like fantasy trades and shit, but it's super cool. You can just go on there and you can use three teams or four teams even if you want, two teams, whatever, and just throw trades, and it'll tell you if it will work or not with all the money and all the laws and everything, and it's pretty sick. So the only shit thing is you can't use picks and you can't use cash. So it's purely like cap space and that's it really.
And humans.
Yeah, and dudes. Yeah,
yeah, I've sort of stayed away from it for a while because I like to think that all my speculatory trades could happen. Yep. And I don't like when the machine tells me otherwise.
Fully.
So we thought we'd give it a legitimate go
and
try and make a working trade that hopefully would impact the season.
Mine only worked, I tried it once and it said no. You got to, you know, lose some cash here and this team needs to get a bit more out of it. And then it worked. So I'm going to tell you, it involves Atlanta, it involves Charlotte and Denver. Basically because Denver are pretty much going to blow themselves up pretty soon, if not yesterday.
Yeah, Denver as well.
Yeah. Well, they've got the best trade assets at the moment in terms of blowing up a team. So I said I would think Atlanta need another big man, a reserve big man, if they're going to make a serious playoff run.
Yeah.
And they're going to go deep. They need someone who can sort of bang around up there with the Noahs and the Gibsons, etc. So I figured that they could try and get JJ Hixon off Denver.
Yeah, right.
And turns out they can. And all they have to give up pretty much if they use Charlotte as well. Basically, Atlanta could acquire JJ Hixon from Denver. They'd only have to give up Shelvin Mack. Denver want to blow up mostly, so they're going to inherit Biombo from the Hornets and Gary Neal, both on one-year contracts. And Charlotte get Aflalo, who they've been chasing, and they take Shelvin Mack off Atlanta. And Atlanta get the big man they need in Hixon. And it all seems pretty kosher to me.
Yeah, right.
So I think if you were like pressing the button, you'd probably do it.
I'll tell you how I feel about it. I love Aflalo and Mack to Charlotte.
Yep.
I think that does wonders for them.
And then that gives them room if they want to get something for Stevenson as well. Because they've got Aflalo there to take Stevenson and they could get a bigger piece.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'd rather play like Aflalo and Henderson next to each other they've been going. But Aflalo fits in there like a glove. And even Mack, they could use like a better backup point guard at this stage. Also, for Denver, obviously, it's a bit of a no-brainer, expiring deals and whatnot. Biombo is actually pretty handy. I don't like JJ Hixon on Atlanta.
Why not?
Because he's like the opposite of what's going on. They've got this beautiful, unselfish system, and JJ is like a bit of a glory boy. He takes contested 20-footers. Oh, he's a bit of a knucklehead.
I don't think he takes like that many of them. You don't need him to do too much. I'm not asking him to do much. I'm asking him to rebound. I'm asking him to play D on the big guys there, bang around, block a few shots and finish. He can finish
well
at the
rim. They want him to do that in Cleveland and Denver and Sacramento, or all these places that he's been and never worked out at?
Well, I wouldn't say never worked out. He's in a shit system in Denver. Nothing's happening there. I don't know. I think he's pretty handy. Look, he's a handy guy for what's out there at the moment. And if Atlanta are trying to make moves going into the finals or the playoffs, there's not much out there. And that's someone they can get. That's someone Denver would probably want to get assets for.
But who are you taking minutes off? Are you taking minutes off Antich or Mike Scott?
Yeah, maybe Mike Scott, just to share it. But they don't... Who else is... Antich is playing what? Like 20 minutes a game? Not even?
Yeah.
Hixon can do that. And Hixon can do it better, I reckon.
Than Antich?
I don't...
Oh, man.
Dude, it's a fucking trade machine. Don't grill me too much.
Sorry.
I didn't think that far ahead.
This is how
I was excited that it worked. And I feel they need another big man. I looked around and I thought Hixon was the best of a shit bunch.
Honestly, the way one of my ones shakes out, you'll be like, Hixon on Atlanta looks like fucking Hakeem Olajuwon compared to some of the shit that I've got going on.
All right.
But nonetheless.
But would you do it then?
I wouldn't do it if I was Atlanta. I'd do it if I was the other two teams for sure.
Fair enough.
They're not giving up. Like, I'll be happy to give up the pieces that Atlanta gave up.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But... No,
just saying,
like Hixon,
look, read
there,
it right there, bro.
Yeah, it's successful.
This trade is successful.
It is. Mine was successful
and
as well.
And look, it even tells you here, with this trade, you have increased the team's projected wins by two.
Fair enough. I don't know. I wouldn't fuck with it. I reckon Atlanta are good to go.
Then lacking a tad of depth there. Anyway.
Fair enough. Well, mine's pretty complicated as well. It's a three-teamer between the Clippers, the Nuggets, and OKC.
Ooh.
For me, the Clippers get Wilson Chandler and JaVale McGee from Denver.
Whoa. Whoa. Let me think about that.
Yeah, Wilson Chandler.
JaVale McGee and DeAndre Jordan on the same team.
Yeah, well, he's backing him up.
Heavy. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speculatory. The main thing is I really want Wilson Chandler on the Clippers.
Yeah.
I think that's everything they need right there.
Totally.
The Nuggets
get a versatile three sort of swing guy.
Yeah, yep. And he can play small ball four as well.
Yep.
The Nuggets get Kendrick Perkins and Reggie Jackson. So the Nuggets just absorb Kendrick Perkins for the rest of this year, and then he's an expiring deal.
And then, yep.
Reggie Jackson's shoot him in the car park of the future.
So with Ty Lawson in Denver.
Yeah.
Reggie and Ty Lawson together.
Yeah. Okay. And then OKC get Jamal Crawford, Spencer Hawes, and Matt Barnes. So OKC get that, a guy they can play next to Russell Westbrook in crunch time in Crawford.
Yes.
A 3-and-D type of dude in Barnes.
Yeah.
Barnes has
forgotten how to play basketball lately.
Yeah. Like, they don't really. He's playing behind Kevin Durant, whatever.
Yeah.
And Spencer Hawes gives him a little bit more flexibility. I think he's better than Kendrick Perkins coming off the bench. A bit of a different look.
And Doc hates Spencer Hawes anyway.
Yeah, Spencer Hawes in the doghouse. Yeah. It's trouble. And OKC get rid of Kendrick Perkins' contract in the Reggie Jackson situation. You're committing to Waiters and Crawford as you guys off the bench.
Well, I mean, it does work on a few levels because Reggie Jackson finally will have his own team, you know, which is with Ty Lawson, they're playing the same position, really. Can they play together?
Well, he's a free agent next year as well, so they get a look at him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, okay. And see if it works. Yeah. Okay.
And you got McGee's contract off the book.
Yeah. I guess.
It kind of sucks for the Clippers because they've lost three rotation guys and got back Wilson Chandler, basically.
Yeah. But Wilson Chandler could be a really good piece there. Well, I like his game.
Well, you're starting five there if you're the Clips is DeAndre Griffin, Chandler, JJ Redick, and Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Pretty hectic.
Yeah, you could do some damage with that.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. Do the dollars add up? It all worked fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's other bits and pieces in there, but, you know, it's not worth mentioning.
I think with Denver, it just would depend if Reggie Jackson... Well, obviously, he doesn't have a say in it if they pull the trigger. So, if they think they could coexist together on a team... You've got kind of two franchise guys there, you know, to build with. But how long are those guys... Are you going to pay Reggie Jackson a max contract? Because that's what he's looking for next year.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you've got the option to just blow it up.
Yeah, it's true.
McGee's gone a year earlier than he needed to be.
But then you're just awful with Ty Lawson and he could walk as well. So then you could have just fucking nothing.
Yeah, that's
true. Imagine that. No Lawson after this. No Reggie Jackson next year. No Chandler. It's Mozgov.
Well,
he's
got
gone.
A Fuala in Farid, and you're trying to build.
You don't have a
Fuala. He's in your trade. Yeah, he's not in my trade. Fair enough.
They're good. They're good though. That was pretty good.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah,
it's difficult,
but it's fun because you're just like, what if? And we don't know what the fuck is going on with coaches and stuff like that. No. What they're thinking, but yeah, I was just happy it worked. I was like,
oh, yeah,
yes,
totally.
It works. Yes.
Yeah,
Atlanta get a big man, yes.
I thought it'd be easier. I know Bill Simmons is like the fucking doyen of the trade machine.
He loves it.
But yeah, Jesus, he's savvy.
Anyway, that was cool.
Yeah, couple of quick little round the worlds before we sign off for the day. I just want to touch on my homie LaMarcus Aldridge, who tore a ligament in his left thumb this week. Meant to be out 6 to 8 weeks getting surgery, but he actually played today against the Wizards, which is huge. The Blazers have lost 5 of 6, a fucking heartbreaker in Boston, also a heartbreaker in Phoenix. I'm just going to cop it from Dave Owen Wes. Batum's still out. But the thing that got me thinking was this dude, Kevin Pelton from ESPN, ran the numbers on all the different scenarios if Aldridge was out for 6 to 8 weeks, right? Like all the projections say they would top out at about 49 wins or thereabouts. Putting them right at the same sort of place where Oklahoma City would kind of finish.
Wow.
And because they're in the same division, one of those two teams would be the number 4 seed with that record.
That's outrageous.
Meaning that if they finish 4th, but a team that finishes below them is going to have a better record than them. But and they would, you know, the team in 5th gets home court advantage.
In 4th get home court.
Nah.
In 5th.
If
oh yeah yeah
if the
sorry.
The 5th team have a better
saying.
Record.
Yeah,
they get home.
Yeah,
court.
That happened last year or the year before, didn't it? With the Clippers or with I remember Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, it makes me think that it's stupid. Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Divisions need to go. We totally. Just need... I'm happy with the East and West. That's a whole other conversation. But
yep.
I think divisions... And definitely this whole seeding thing. Let's just fuck it off.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
1 through 8. That's it.
It's easy. And it's justified as well. You have a better record. You won more fucking games. You lost less games. You get... advantage for that.
Yeah, I don't understand what's the benefit of having it that way.
It's dumb, man.
I remember when the seedings came in, I was like, that's fucking backwards.
Yeah.
Forget it. Fix it up. Fix up the draft lottery so there's no more tanking.
Fix up the All-Star voting.
Let's go. What did you think about Cuban saying that the All-Star voting was broken?
I agree with him. I don't think fans should have the right to decide this shit. When there's so much emphasis based on if you're an All-Star and it comes with being an All-Star... increases your value, obviously. It increases your chances into the Hall of Fame. It fucks with your legacy if you're an ex-time All-Star or not. And when you leave it in the hands of part-time fans and fans who aren't really invested in that season, and if they're warranted to be an All-Star that particular season, then it's a fucking... then you're short-handed. Then you're getting stitched, I reckon.
And also, with the so-called Derrick Rose rule now, if you're voted as an All-Star twice in your first 3 seasons, you make more money. So that becomes a thing, but...
Yep.
I agree with you. I'd love to see, guys like Kobe this year not be starting in the All-Star game.
And it's no insult to Kobe, but Kobe will tell you himself, like he did other years, he said in the past, he's like, don't vote for me. Like, yeah. I don't deserve to be there. He said it before. He's smart enough to know the system. Star power is one thing and you want the best players there for the weekend, but, I mean, what the fuck? The All-Star weekend has turned into a bit of a farce anyway. You know, like, the game's fun, it's cool, the dunk comp sucks. It's boring. The fucking... these 3 team things, that's pretty weak. And the skills thing.
Yeah.
3-point shootout's always money. You always care about that. Don't care about the dunk comp anymore, especially when there's not big guys in it. You know? LeBriz, Blake Griffin, even Lillard. Guys who... even Westbrook could go in it.
Yeah.
But they don't. Because they know it's like fucking...
there's only so many dunks you can do, I think.
Well, they don't want to, like, lose, you know? Like, imagine if LeBriz went in a dunk comp and didn't win, you know? Like, oh, fuck. LeBriz can't win a dunk comp, you know?
Yeah.
They get hated on. That's probably why he's never done it.
Oh, speaking of the dunk comp...
Yeah.
What do you think of the guys that are getting thrown around for it at the moment? Oladipo, Greek Freak... Zach LaVine's in the mix,
and your
my
boy,
homeboy,
your boy.
Fucking the rich man's Plumlee all day.
I think probably a good half of NBA fans ago, who the fuck are those guys? That's what I think.
I think it's going to be super weak.
Yeah,
I feel like Greek Freak are just going to be limsy, fucking gliding to the rim and whatnot. I don't love his in-game
dunking. If you watch a YouTube video called The Lost Dunks, they show you what happens when a 7-footer or a really lanky dude goes in the dunk comp, and it's not pretty. The guy was Larry Nance, and there was another guy before him.
Hey, Larry Nance was money.
Yeah, I got that wrong. Fuck.
You know what, though? You know what I reckon would fix the dunk comp?
What?
Don't show it live.
Oh, that's
just
a good
let
point.
Him go
that's
for it.
Yeah,
I don't care
if
it takes him 20 attempts to do it. If I'm watching it and it looks like first go, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah. That's not bad. That's a pretty good thing. Maybe you should email or send a tweet to Silver about that one. That's pretty good.
Anyway, I'm putting the house on LaVine. He's going to run away with it, I reckon. No contest.
Yeah. Just don't have all the shitty props and get people to come out with you or like rappers or fucking celebrities, because it doesn't have anything to fucking do with the dunk. But look, it's hard. Dunk comp's been going for like a billion years. There's only so many times you can try and be original with a dunk. I wouldn't want to do it, you know.
No, it'd be tough.
But, you know, it's what these guys do. They should be able to come up with something, I guess.
Yeah, we try not to get overexcited about it every year, but you end up getting a touch excited about it. You hope it's good. That's all we can say.
Yep.
One last thing, I think, before we go. I think one of your mates, this is your world, Rabbit. This is fashion, design. Tell us about your homeboy, Wale, and the Washington Wizards.
Oh, he's kind of doing a Drake thing up in DC at the moment, and
he's their creative liaison.
I was gonna say that,
sorry.
He's trying to get Kanye to help design uniforms. I know what you're gonna say.
Yeah, you
it could
don't
be
like
super
it.
funny. I just don't like Kanye. I never have. I think he's the most egotistical fuck in the world, and like, he's married to, you know, obviously, who, it's just, it's the most vain shit I've ever seen. And when you keep stroking that cunt's ego, I just, I can't handle it. I'm sorry, I fucking hate it, you know? A book of selfies, dude. Kardashian just released a book of selfies.
Yeah, Kardashian's not designing the uniforms.
It's the same thing. Like, she's married to him. They're both as fucking self-indulgent as each other. And when you keep feeding that ego and shit, I just can't handle it. Don't give Kanye any more fucking, like, Jesus complex.
You didn't
Don't
like
do
it.
It.
You didn't like it when Diddy, like, designed the Mavericks uniforms
not really.
A year back? Diddy
no.
Kong?
No. I don't mind Diddy as much because he's not a fucking egotistical maniac. It's not that hectic.
He was an egotistical maniac.
Well,
now he's just
okay.
not famous
Well,
enough.
Then, well, cool. I never even knew about it, so I wouldn't. I don't go for that kind of shit. Do it yourself. If you're the creative liaison, do it your fucking self.
Maybe Wale's strength isn't in design. He's just more of an MC.
Oh, so I'll just palm it off to the million people in the world. I'll palm it off to Kanye.
Well, I just think the chance for comedy is going to be way too rich. If you remember, Chris Humphries was briefly married to Kardashian.
Yes.
So I reckon if you're Kanye, you go for full Bound 2 film clip themed uniforms where you just have yourself and Kim riding naked on a motorbike.
What
just
the hell?
On the uniform.
He's already done that on the uniform.
Yeah, just to make Chris Humphries wear, like, he has to go to work watching you fucking spoon his ex-wife nude on a motorbike.
On his jersey.
Yeah, all day. Couldn't
so
script
good.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hope they do get fucking cool new Wizards uniforms.
Oh, I'm with you. I just don't... My thing, my beef is, like, with Kanye. It's not with fucking this guy, Wale.
Anyway... Good chat.
I'm sorry, dude. I know what you're saying, and it's probably going to be super funny in that. I just hate on Kanye, and I'm sorry. I just don't rate him or don't rate anything. But it's basketball.
Yeah.
Get someone to design it who's paid to do it, and you'll be sweet. It'll be cool.
Hey, and you told me who's this whale guy who's designing all the jerseys before the podcast.
I keep
so
up with
clearly...
fucking ball. I keep up with fucking epic sort of important issues. I don't keep up with...
With hip hop,
not heaps, you know. I don't know that dude.
Do yourself a favor, Wale. He does Seinfeld themed mixtapes.
Oh, that's cool,
and they're fucking awesome.
Oh, show me some of that. I'm always open to new things, Josh.
All day. All right. Me and Chris are going to go smoke a doobie and listen to Wale now.
Yeah,
we'll be back for another podcast in a couple of weeks with Wesley. So all you Wesley fans, get excited about that, and remember, please subscribe. And thank you to everyone who's already like contributing on the Facebook and stuff. Shout out to Billy Trin, Simino, all the guys that keep getting into it. Davo, of course, you giddy.
Appreciate it.
All the big names. Appreciate the love. HUD. Thanks a lot, everyone. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.